Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel, and we're going to continue with our discussion in Hebrews chapter 2 and 3. Today is June 14th, 2022, and we were discussing and talking about how Christ was the captain of our salvation and how we have to look to him, meaning that he was the pioneer. He was, in chapter 1, explained as the Son of God. When you see that, Son of God, it's just simply that he was God. And in chapter 2, it says that he was Son of Man. He became the Son of Man, or the firstborn, after he suffered, bled, died, and resurrected. And he became Lord as a man, Lord, when he was resurrected and ascended into the heavens. So he sits right now at the right hand of the Father as fully man and fully God. See this? The first Adam lost. He fell. He disobeyed God. God was ready in the Garden of Eden when he created, did his creation. He said everything was good. Okay? But when he got to man, he said, and he built man. He didn't just call man into existence. Everything else he called into existence. But when we got to the sixth day, man, he built man from the earth, the dust. Today, if you go, you have iron, you have copper, you have elements of the earth in your body. You have, we're dirt, we're clay. You can go take a shower and you go rub your arm again, you see dirt, clay. Amen. We are elements of the earth, you see?
Amen.
So when he got to man, he built man, or he created man out of the dust, and then he built woman out of the side of man who was dust, okay? So we see here when he built them, he created them in his image and his likeness, okay? Man was in the position to express God. The very essence of God, he was going to express himself and then give man dominion so that his authority could be expressed in the earth. God dwells in the realm of where he finds a man in his image who will allow him to express himself so that his dominion or authority can be shown in the earth. Okay, and we're going to show this tonight. I want you to see that we are partakers with Christ. So if Christ became exalted and he's our representative man, last Adam, we are partners with him. And we're going to look at this, partners. And you said it earlier, Sister Cherry, we're laborers. We are partakers. They use the word partakers in chapter 3. And that word partaker is the same as a part. It means partner. And it also means partaker. When you partake of something, you can eat a good breakfast. You partake of your breakfast, and it's good, right? Mm-hmm. So we're supposed to partake of Christ, his likeness, his spirit, the fruit of the spirit. You know, we're supposed to enjoy Christ, okay? But we're also supposed to be a partner with Christ. So if you have somebody that owns a business or a corporation, they are partners with someone. So Christ is the owner of the corporation, and we are his partners, okay?
Amen.
We come along to share in the operation of the corporation, and the corporation is just simply God's kingdom. Satan usurped the authority that man had in the garden. And I'm going back to this because it helps to paint the picture to let us see what's going on in the book of Hebrews. Satan usurped the authority that God had given to man. Man was created in the image and likeness, and God said it was very good. See, in his original creation, the first 5 days, he said it was good. But when he created man, he said it was very good. And that word meant he was satisfied. And so he rested. See this? Man was in his image, and man was ready to express the authority of God in the earth. When Satan came in, he usurped that authority by causing the woman to focus more on self instead of what God's interests were. So she became independent of God. She operated independently of God. We have to be dependent on God constantly. This is the whole walk and being sanctified. It's us walking with God. And you, and I keep saying it, you said it earlier, we have to be partners with him. We're not to live this Christian life apart from him. And what most people do, even though we come together in churches or what have you, everybody's operating in their own independently of what God desires. See, we in a corporation, you have one CEO, or some people have two, whatever. But then they have partners, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a partner, you go according to the plans of that and the purposes of that leader. You don't come into the corporation, get hired, and then go up there and trying to change and do things your way, right? Otherwise, you'll get fired. So what happens with the church, as organized church, everybody got their own way of doing things, and we've left the head, Christ, out. He's the owner. We're just sharers or companions in the operation of God's economy or his kingdom. You see this? That's why he calls us joint heirs.
Mm-hmm.
So what God wants in the earth, the only way that God was expressed or man could know who God was through Israel in the beginning. They were the only ones that had the knowledge of the true and living God. Everybody else outside of Israel, all the other nations, didn't have God's presence. Israel's job was to make known the God of Israel. The word, when you look at Israel, El at the end means God, E-L. So God was with them. You see this? And his purpose was to have a body of people to express himself and to make himself known throughout the earth. We will see this come to pass in the book of Revelation. The whole earth will bow to the king, and we will be partners, those excuse me, those that overcome. Now we're going to look at this word, because you got to see that it's only the overcomers that share in this. Everyone else will be saved, but when God comes with his overcoming saints, they will be given, those who didn't lose rewards but gained it, who was faithful, who were committed, who through hardship didn't give up. This is where you got to see. There was a difference in being a Christian and being an overcomer. Now, the way we know this is if you look in Exodus, when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh's oppressive rule, God sent Moses, and we're going to see this tonight. The chapter 3 is dealing with Moses. We compared the book of Hebrews. We were showing how these overcomers, they were Christians who had left Judaism. And when they left Judaism, they followed Christ. So the old way was in the system of the Jews. They did Levitical offering of animals and the sacrifices. They had the priests. They had all this ordered structure. But Christ was the fulfillment of everything that they were participating in, right? So because of hardship, persecution, and almost martyrdom, they were on the verge of going back to the old system. And what happened was Paul is telling them, why go back to what Christ has already fulfilled? So he compares in chapters 1 and 2, we see how Christ was greater than the angels. He's more superior than the angels. And then we see how he was more superior than the Levitical system. Here we're seeing how he's more superior than Moses. So not demeaning Moses, but he was more superior. And Moses was a type of an apostle, and we're going to see this. So in Exodus, you saw where you had a group of people under an oppressive government. And so God sent Moses, right? And Moses said, let my people go. When he delivered them from Egypt, he placed them in the wilderness. And when they were placed in the wilderness was not their final destination. God had a land, Canaan, that he had pulled, set aside for them. Okay? They were to enter into Canaan. Now, when they were in the wilderness, they had a tabernacle, and that was where God's presence was. So he pulled them out of Egypt, placed them in the wilderness, set the tabernacle, and it was a type of Christ. Okay? It was a movable tent. God's glory was there with them by a cloud, a pillar of fire and a cloud that in the daytime, it was a cloud, the presence of God. And when that cloud would move, they have to pack up the tent the tabernacle, and they would move. That was God's presence. When God's people was in the land with God's presence, he was satisfied. You see this? This is going back to Genesis. God is at work now because man has not rested in God's presence. And this is what I want us to see tonight. God is trying to get us to continue to be partakers and partners with him in this salvation experience. And in this salvation experience, every day we're being transformed, we're being renewed, and I have to keep moving with the Spirit, Christ as the captain of my salvation. If I get in church and get stale and get stuck in religion and programs and religious activities and don't want no persecution and don't want no changes, guess what happened? I'm in a wilderness. So everybody that came out of Egypt was not an overcomer to enter into the Canaan promised land. This is what I want you to see. It was only those that entered the people that entered the rest with God were only those that did not murmur nor complain, but they became overcomers. See this?
Amen.
So let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to see. Now Paul compares Moses to Christ and show how he's more superior. Any questions before we go further? All right. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1.
Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of all perfection, Christ Jesus.
Okay, so here he's telling us, he's calling us holy brethren. Now, remember, it picked up from chapter 2 where he said he's the sanctifier and we're the ones being sanctified. So this qualifies to be us to be holy. Okay, the holy brethren is simply because we've allowed the work of Christ to take part. We've said we're sanctified, meaning that you're just set apart from the world to now be worked upon so that God can bring about a change in your heart and life. That's what it means. So now remember the scripture says, be ye holy for God is holy.
Yes.
So because God is holy, he will not dwell in an unholy temple. So what does he do? God says, my presence is in you. I'm the seed of the Spirit, and now I have to, he tells us to break up the fallow ground. When you go to sow a seed, what do the farmers have to do? Do they just throw the seed out on the hard path?
No, you have to break up the land.
Right. So the same way God tells us to break up that fallow ground, meaning through conviction, God works and deals with the sinner. He could have been dealing with us from way back, say years ago. I happen to step into a church and then they give an altar call and I feel convicted and I go forth. It wasn't necessarily just because that preacher preached that at that moment, but it's through years of God breaking the fallow ground,
right.
God tilling my heart through conviction. And then eventually I hear the word, because faith come by hearing, hearing what? The word of God, and I respond by faith. And now I answer the call. See that? And so it's through years, the Holy Spirit breaks up the fallow ground through the convicting power of his Spirit. So now that the ground is broken, now he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save the souls. Now that I receive the word, I have to receive it with meekness. Notice he said meekness. Meekness simply means that I give up my will for another. This is where a lot of Christians don't understand that. We want God to just fix our problems, get us out of our problems, or whatever. And when he doesn't, we give up and we think, okay, oh, well, I'm not saved anymore. But we didn't count the cost of being a Christian. See this? So when he breaks the fallow ground, I receive the engrafted word with meekness. That word has potential. Every Christian has potential to become greater, every Christian, but it depends upon where I place my faith and my trust. If I'm going to trust him, see, if I love him, I should embrace him whether things go my way or not. I can embrace him whether I'm sick, whether I have money, whether I'm poor. You see what I'm saying? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. This is what God wants. He wants me to learn to love him and know him so that no matter the circumstances, external, outside of me, I will continue to grow in him. That's why he says, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, even when there's a drought, your leaves will remain green. See, in this life, you see this, you see COVID, you see the prices of all this stuff. See what God is doing with the world. God knows about these things, but God uses those things. See, he uses Satan. Nothing ever takes God by surprise. He uses those very things because his love for us is greater than what I will ever face.
Amen.
See, God loves me so much that he says, I don't want to leave you in sin. I don't want to leave you in bondage to self, to the world, Satan. So if it takes cancer, cancer is not greater than me. But if it takes the sickness or situation to get you to me, so be it. My love for you is greater. See, God wants us in his presence.
Amen.
So what they faced in Egypt, God said he heard. He heard their cry. He sent Moses and raised him up to face Pharaoh. And then he said, he even loved Pharaoh. He said, I'm going to get glory through the hardness of Pharaoh's heart, right? So God was extending mercy to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh kept hardening his own heart. The more God showed that he how powerful he was, the more Pharaoh's heart got hardened. So God would not force himself on anyone, but God's love is extended to all men. But it's up to us to respond to that love. You see what I'm saying? God doesn't want us to stay in our current situation. He knows that Satan usurped the authority of man, and he doesn't want to keep man. So God is, right now, God is not at rest. Why? Anywhere you see people sick and misery, oppressed, and unsaved, God is actively working to seek them out. Remember he said, I have other sheep. See this? So when we see, this is why we can't get caught up with when people mistreat us and oh, it's about me and I'm going to get them back and this and that. No, God says, I love them too. I remember I told y'all there was an atheist on my job and she knew I was a Christian and I was young. I was in my 20s and I had just started. We all got hired at the same time. But she would say, your God can go to hell. And I would get so mad. I mean, I got so mad. And I didn't, but you know, I was the type to get mad, but you hold it in and you don't know what to say, but you just cry. I didn't cry, but that's just the type, you know, you can't express yourself, but whatever. Anyway, and God, one day, it seemed the Lord spoke to my heart, why are you so angry? I can defend myself. She still needs to be saved.
Wow, amen.
Y'all see, we can be so, I'm about God and I'm defending. God can defend himself. God is after a seeking soul. God, even though she said those things, remember what they did to Christ.
Yeah, amen.
Remember, they falsely accused him, called him the devil, had him arrested, beat him, pulled the beards, put a crown of thorns, and he didn't sit there and try to vindicate himself. Peter tried to protect him. Peter went and cut one of the servants' ear off. And Christ, even though he knew he was going to be arrested and killed, had enough power and said, Peter, those who live by the sword shall die by it. And he picked the man's ear up, put it back on him, and healed him.
Amen.
This is the life that God wants to be expressed in and through us, and he can and will do it as long as we're willing to walk with him and be a partaker, to be a holy brethren. See, it's his divine life flowing through us that makes us holy. It's not that I'm holy in and of myself, but it's just that I've been separated and I've been called by God so that his life can be revealed through me. Y'all know how it is, you know, some people that used to irk you and get on your nerves, and then one day over time, you're like, I don't have that ill will against them anymore.
Amen.
That's the power of the Spirit because you've been separated. You've been called. You've been anointed, you see? So he says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. See that? We've been called to be partakers. So he gave us two titles, holy brothers and partakers of a heavenly calling. So it says the writer of this book could not call us holy brothers until he had covered so many of the qualifications concerning both Christ and us in the first two chapters. So by the time he reaches the third chapter, he is able to call us holy brothers. Through his death and resurrection, Christ has made us his brothers. Originally, we were sinners, death victims, prisoners, and captives. But praise the Lord that his death has made propitiation. Remember, God was satisfied with what Christ had done. So he became the satisfaction for our sins and has released us from the slavery of death. So in his resurrection, what did he do? He produced brothers. If he hadn't resurrected, we wouldn't be brothers. We wouldn't be partakers with him, joint heirs.
Amen.
You see that? So now, notice what he says. Partakers of what? The heavenly calling. This is what we are partakers of. The heavenly calling. Where is Christ? Y'all help me out. Where is Christ now?
Where is Christ?
Uh-huh.
Sitting on the right hand of the Father.
Amen. So he's in heavenly places, right?
Right.
So notice he says here, okay, so if he's in heavenly places, where am I? If I'm a joint heir.
I'm in him.
Amen. So when we look at this book in Hebrews chapter 3, they were considering going back to Judaism. Judaism focused on the earthly. They got the animals. They brought them to the altar. They focused on the washings. The priest had the washing, the brazen, the earthly. They focused on the earthly. Remember, Christ had been left, came to earth, died, and went to heaven. So now he's in the heavenlies. Okay, so we are, why are we so focused on the earthly?
Amen.
See this? It says, now we come to the partakers of the heavenly calling. The term heavenly calling is used by the writer of this epistle to compare this calling with the earthly calling. So there's now he's comparing the system of Judaism, the earthly calling, the priest and all that stuff, to the heavenly calling. So they want to go back, they would be focused on the earthly calling. So they would have been focused on, well, are you of the tribe of Levi? Are you of the Aaronic priesthood? You see what I'm saying? Earthly. It says all the people in Judaism participated in an earthly calling for earthly blessings. Why is the church today saying, money cometh to me?
Amen.
You can be rich. You know, your happy life now. This is what the church is focused on. What is that? Is it heavenly or earthly?
Earthly.
See that? But in God's economy, in his full salvation, we have been called by God from the heavens and called to everything that is heavenly. Therefore, this calling is a heavenly calling. Everything in it has a heavenly nature. So we, the holy brothers, are partakers of such a heavenly calling. Do you like to stay with the earthly calling?
Nope.
Remember, the word Hebrew means to cross over, or will you cross the river to be a true Hebrew partaking of the heavenly calling? This is why Christ could live his life and not be offended by what man did to him. His mind was on the will of the Heavenly Father. See this? The will of the Heavenly Father for Christ was to be the last Adam because there was no man in the earth to fulfill or go through the temptation and the testings of man without failing. There was no man. As great as David was, he sinned with Bathsheba. Y'all see this? As great as Paul was, you know, in these different people, they had their own little flaws. Moses had his flaws. He got angry. The people wanted water. He struck the rock when God told him to speak to it, and it stopped him or hindered him from entering into the promise. He had an anger. He had attitude, right? So Christ was qualified to be our heavenly captain of our salvation. So we have to look to Christ in this faith walk, living this life. We have to live it by faith in what Christ has done. This is why we say the cross, faith in the cross. Because if we don't, we can't in our strength do it. So it doesn't matter with all the things we're facing in this life that's going on. Because my faith is in the cross, I put my life in his hands. He will take care of me. If there's a food shortage, y'all remember we went through the tissue and all that stuff. Guess what God will do? He will take care of us.
Yes.
He will lead
Amen.
Us. You see what I'm saying? So we've seen through all this stuff that we've gone through, we have seen God being faithful. He protected us. Yeah, each of us can count the ways that God has been faithful in the midst of all this stuff that we're facing today, right?
Amen.
Right.
So here he's just comparing the heavenly things to the earthly. So this is why Christ is more superior. He's more focused on heavenly, the heavenly things. It says the heavenly calling firstly calls us to the heavenly Christ. Where is Christ today? He is in the heavens. He was on the earth, and he will return to the earth. But now he is in the heavens. And so he is the heavenly Christ ministering the heavenly life supply and riches to us all the time. See, this is why you cannot focus on your problem. I told you, I hate when you watch the news, everything is doom and gloom. Doom and gloom every time, and it can get in your spirit, or even some of these shows, it's doom and gloom, and or it's trying to promote. So if I put my mind on the heavenly Christ, my life supply, everything I need, peace, joy, hope, faith, it's all in the heavenlies.
Right.
You see this? It's in the heavenlies. If I put it on what I hear and what I see and what people are experiencing in the earth, it can burden you and make you feel bogged down.
Back to Minister Peterkin.
Uh-huh.
Like you just said, when I was watching all those stories and things,
right?
I hardly got anything done. If I didn't get it done before 12, I didn't do too much in the afternoon. Because
right.
I was ready for my story. But,
right.
you know, all of that stuff went away from me. I don't watch stories now.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I listen to my radio most of the time, 98.5.
Amen.
I don't listen to the radio, the TV, because, like you say, all you ever see most of the time now is negative stuff.
Amen. And believe it or not, what we hear, what we see, it can affect us spiritually. It can affect how we look at things because the world system can put opinions and perceptions in our mind and make us go in a direction. They study us out. They got a university for these corporations to study our behavior. And so they use marketing tools to play off of our behavior because they study us. So they're studying us, and they know that through certain ads and certain whatever. This is why we have to guard our kids, because if the enemy can plant a seed, and I feel bad for these kids because they're growing up thinking that transgenderism is okay. They're growing up and thinking that being a homosexual is okay. They don't see nothing wrong with that. Y'all see what I'm saying? So it's very important because some of these shows, they're very subtle with how they present things to us and to our children. So we have to keep that heavenly perspective. Even though the world gonna say that, you know, let's keep the Bible out of it. That's just old. You're just a holy roller. See, so today we're not in the heavens, but our names are written there.
Amen.
See that? So we're enrolled in heaven, and also we get a taste of the heavenly gift. So it tells us we are the partakers of the calling. So the heavenly gift should be the heavenly things given to us by God at the time of our salvation, such as forgiveness, righteousness, divine life, peace, and joy. So as partakers of the heavenly calling, we have tasted these things, right? And I'm just naming some of these things that are presented to us, the heavenly things. We have heavenly worship as partakers. We of the heavenly calling, we also need to have the heavenly worship. Even though we're on earth, our worship to God must be heavenly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the holy brothers have been called to have the heavenly worship on earth. See this? We have to keep our worship from our any worth earthly nature. You know, the world system has infiltrated the gospel music industry. Y'all believe that?
Yeah.
The worship that's supposed to be heavenly towards heaven, we got to keep the earthly things out of, the earthly nature.
Man.
See this? So we here is showing that the heavenly is better than the earthly. Okay, and I'm gonna have to keep go a little bit. So we're gonna go to a heavenly country. So as partakers, we've been called to the heavenly country. This world or this life is not our home.
Right.
We're not living this life here just to be here as we know it. But we're going to live it. We're going to be here, but it's going to be the world is going to be purified. And heaven will, the New Jerusalem will come on earth. It will be nothing like we see here with man having his 2 cents in it. Okay? And so we are partakers of the Holy Spirit. See, this divine life that's in us, it says the Holy Spirit is what God promised to give man in his gospel. So in his gospel, God has called us from the heavens to the heavenly things that we may partake of his Holy Spirit. So again, being a partaker of Christ, we're enjoying it's the enjoyment of Christ's life. Christ's life is imparted to us by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's job, which is the divine nature, remember we had a sinful nature. Now understand what happened at the fall. Right before the fall, when God created man and he said it was good, very good, God was satisfied and he rested. Okay? God rested and man rested. There was no toil. But we see after the fall, man had to work, and so therefore God had no rest. God had to work to cover man. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So God has been at work ever since the fall, and man has been at work. The only time we get rest is coming to Christ. Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Christ is our Sabbath. That's what the Sabbath. We first hear of the Sabbath when God rested the seventh day. Christ is the Sabbath. So when man ceases from his efforts, scheming, see, God is trying to get man back to himself, his original image. And we can only get that through Christ, who became the last Adam. So as the last Adam, he fulfilled God's purpose, and now he can impart that unto me. He was anointed to be appointed. See, God anointed. So remember the oil that was poured on the priest went down from the head to the all the way down to his feet. We are in Christ. So if he was anointed, guess who else is?
Yeah.
Amen. That's what makes us a partaker. We're partakers of everything that Christ has to offer. So everything that was done unto Christ is done unto us. You see this? But I have to get it by faith, trust, dependence. Don't do like Adam and Eve, trust in your own self. See, Satan uses our lust as a springboard to accomplish his goals. So he searches each of us. It's like going fishing. He knows what type of lure to put on the hook to bait us.
Mm-hmm.
Each of us have our own little whatever, hang up and hook up, and he knows how. The cross crucifies our lust and our passions so that we don't come forth, but the power of his Spirit does. You see this? This is why the cross is necessary, because it has to nail our passions. He has to nail our passions and lust. And I have to be willing. Not my will, Lord, thy will be done. And the only way I can yield is by faith. I can't do it in my strength. We've all tried willpower. It don't work. Paul said, the things I want to do, I find myself not doing, and the things that I don't want to do, I do. Then he says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Christ Jesus. When he put faith in the cross, he realized, oh, the Spirit is working in me. All I got to do is yield and submit. And then I can resist the devil. You see this? You and I need a power source greater than us, greater than our own willpower to overcome in this life, whether it be sin, whether it be self, whether it be the world or Satan. We need a power source. And this is why the scripture says, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, guess where he resides?
In us.
Amen. Y'all see how powerful y'all are? We rarely tap into the Spirit and allow him access. Why? Because we're in the way.
Yes.
We get in the way and our feelings and our emotions. And like I was saying, what happened in the garden, man's human spirit, which is the part of him that knows, had direct connection to God the Father. And the soulish part of man, which is the mind, will, and emotions, was controlled by the spirit part of man who had connection with or communion with the Godhead. And so the body is neutral. It's going to follow whoever's in control. So Satan, knowing that he could usurp the authority of man if he could get man to obey him and fall down to his lower nature and trust in the soulish part, his emotions, his will, his own desires. See what I'm saying? And so what Satan did, he appealed to the woman's flesh, lust, desires, will. And he took her from depending on God to depending on self. And when Adam bit that fruit, then the order of the spirit having direct communication with God was reversed. The soulish man, the spirit of the man fell to the soulish part of man. You see what I'm saying? Now man is controlled, has a bent towards wrongdoing, and whatever his sinful lusts and desires want, that's what controlled the body. But when Christ came, this is what regeneration is about. He restored where our spirit man, the Bible says he ignited our human spirit and to back to the divine nature where there's communion now with God. So the order has been restored, but it's a seed. See this? We all have great potential, but we got to continue to be a partaker. We got to continue to enjoy Christ. And this is where the Holy Spirit leads us. He leads us to Christ. Everything about Christ, that's where the Spirit leads us so we can enjoy, so that we can become a partaker. Just like we partake in a breakfast or a meal, we enjoy it, right? But further down, we're going to see where the same word partaker is also translated as partner. In verse 14, it means a partner, meaning that we're going to share. Not only are we partakers, but we're going to be partners with him. See, most people just want to be a partaker. I just want to eat my breakfast, my lunch. We just want to eat. We just want to eat with Christ. Oh, I'm just basking in his presence. Oh, and then when the Lord says, come on, Joshua, let's go into Canaan and oust these enemies that's in the camp. Now, understand, these enemies are within and without. What am I saying? They're within us and they're outside of us. So our heavenly Joshua is going to be working with us. We're sharing in this operation, or we're a comrade or a companion working to put to death some of the enemies within us. That's what sanctification is. Justification is God fighting for you. He's doing everything in his power. Please come to me today, Wallace, today. He's fighting to get us to him. But in sanctification, God is fighting in us. See this? Once I give my life to Christ, he said, okay, you have peace with me. My wrath is settled, and now you're justified. And so then the next, that qualifies me to be worked upon, sanctification. I'm set apart to be changed. See this? So now I have to be a partner with him so that he can cause me to become an overcomer. Now, in order for Joshua to enter into the good land I mean, in order for the Israelites to enter into the good land, they had to go under the leadership of Joshua. Caleb was his partner. You see this? Caleb didn't just partake of Joshua. He didn't. He wasn't. It was an enjoyment of Joshua. You see this? There's a difference. Caleb was a partner. He worked with Joshua. Joshua is a type of Christ. They had to go into the land. God said, go in and possess. See this? We have to be partaker and partner. So I partake of Christ as I partake of my breakfast. I enjoy him. I allow the Spirit of God. I partake of the Spirit, forgiveness, righteousness. You see this? This is what the Holy Spirit has to impart to me. But at the same time, I have to walk jointly with him as he causes me to oust my enemies or dispossess that which is living in the land. Am I making sense, y'all? This is the sanctification. God has to fight in us. And I have to let the engrafted word which I receive penetrate the heart and do his work so that I can come forth and continue to partake. What happened with them in the wilderness was God was still trying to get them over and to become partners. They wanted to partake. They wanted to partake so much that they started naming stuff that they wanted. Give us some quail. God gave them manna and water. He allowed their clothes to never wear out, but they lusted for meat. You see this? When we start partaking of Christ and then we start dictating to Christ what we want, we take our lives in our own hands and we stop enjoying Christ and start working for Christ. That makes sense? We stop enjoying him because in enjoyment, he's giving us what we need. And so they could not enter into the land because they was too busy telling God what they wanted.
Amen.
See this? God said, give them the meat. They tempted me. And they were overthrown in the wilderness. So let's keep going. I know I got to see how much time we got. Where we stop? Verse 1 says here?
We stopped verse 2.
Okay, let's go on to, let me get here. Let's go to verse 2 right quick.
Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house.
Okay, so in verse 1, let me finish this. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle. This is the first time that Christ was compared to as an apostle. Okay? Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, he's comparing Christ to Moses. Now, the difference between Christ and Moses, one, Moses was human. Christ was human and divine. Okay, so the apostle is the one who was sent to us from God with God. Understand that. That's what an apostle is. They're sent from God with God. The high priest, notice he compares him to an apostle and a high priest of our profession. Christ is more superior than the Levitical priest. The Levitical priest was men who were taken of men. They had to be born and of a certain lineage or a certain tribe of Aaron or what have you, right? And Levi. So here he shows how Christ is more superior. An apostle is one who's sent from God with God. So the high priest is the one who went back to God from us and with us. So the high priest went to God for us and with us. See this? He came from us and he went with us as well. This is the purpose of the high priest. So as the apostle, Christ came to us with God to share God with us that we may partake of his divine life, his nature, and fullness. This is why it compares him as an apostle. Remember Moses? Moses was the one that God used. He went from God to the people. Remember? Aaron went to God with the people. He had the breastplate. They had the 12 tribes. He went on behalf of himself and the people. Christ, this is showing us how Christ is more superior than the earthly Aaronic priesthood and Moses, okay?
Amen.
So it says, he as the apostle came to us with God to share God with us that we may partake of his divine life, his nature, and fullness. As the high priest, Christ went to God with us to present us to God that we in all our case may be fully cared for by him. So as an apostle, he's typified by Moses, who came from God to serve the house of God. Remember when Moses went to the mountains, got the Ten Commandments? He came to serve God as an apostle. And as the high priest, he is typified by Aaron, who went to God with the house of Israel in their cases. So the difference is Moses had the human nature, which is fit for God's building, but he did not have a divine nature, which is suitable for being the builder. See this? Christ is the builder. Remember, he's the sanctifier. He's the builder. He's the rock of our salvation. See, the foundation has to be Christ and him crucified. He said, Peter, when Peter confessed that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, based upon your confession, I will build my house on this rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. See, he's the builder. Moses couldn't build a house as far as us being God's spiritual house. He had, through instructions, built tabernacles, but he wasn't the builder. So it says, in contrast, Christ in his humanity is the good material for God's building. He's the foundation stone, he's the cornerstone, he's the top stone, and he's the living stone that produces us as living stones. That's in 1 Peter 2. 4-5. You see this? This is why he's more qualified. Why would these Jews or Hebrew Christians go back to Judaism? Why go back under Moses? Why go back under the Aaronic priesthood when you have the builder, the foundation, the cornerstone, the top stone, the living stone, and he makes us living stones? So Christ in his divinity is the builder. Am I confusing y'all? Y'all let me know. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Any questions before I go further? I hear Sister Terry laugh.
Well, Sister Peter, if I'm into something and I can find my way out, mm-hmm. I'm coming out of it. And I don't want to go back. I'm not going back.
Right.
Because you know what you come out of. And when you get out of it, you don't want to go back.
Right. Amen. Amen. It's the reason why we go back, or most people go back, because we look at the Israelites in Egypt. When Pharaoh started making things hard, he told them, okay, since y'all got time to sit here and whine at me and say you want to be free, I'll give you freedom. Since you got time, you want to do this, you get your own straw. See, they used to collect the straw, and Pharaoh said, you get your own straw since you got time to cry for freedom. And they said, they went to Pharaoh saying, this is too much. No, we can't do this, right? So whenever things get hard, and the same with these Hebrew Christians, we want relief. Remember that. And we all go through these moments in our Christian journey. Things get difficult. And I told y'all, they started that mess with these vaccine mandates, and they start putting people's livelihood. If you don't get a shot, you can't work. It became real. It was the reality. It was a lot of people were going against their convictions because their lives, instead of us, what, we have to trust God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were threatened to be thrown in the fiery furnace if they did not bow, to the king's image, they said, O king, we respect you and your authority, but we cannot bow. And they said, y'all going to be thrown in fire. They said, if we perish, we perish. But if God deliver us, so be it. Their lives was in his hand. And it's so easy when we're not going through, when everything's fine, to say, I love God. But
Amen.
When the pressure is applied, and I can understand these Hebrew Christians, pressure was applied. That was their livelihood. The church and state was one. So if they were excommunicated from the church, they had no livelihood, and they wanted relief. You see what I'm saying? The Israelites in under the Egyptian oppression wanted relief. And so they said, later for freedom, we want relief. And it's the same today. We're crying for freedom to our government, to people, whatever. And God says, a lot of times we will cave in to what their demands are simply because we want relief. But we have to trust God even in the most difficult of situations. This is how we're promoted.
Amen.
This is how we become overcomers. You see this? So these Christians were pressured, and pressure comes in this life, and we're constantly being pressured by family, by friends. We know what's right, and a lot of times, you know, we want to do what's right, but when the majority comes against what you're doing, most of us can't stand the pressure. We'll conform with the crowd.
Amen.
You see this? So we have to learn how to stand in the midst. And this is what Christ, this is what it means to be partaker and a partner. God's going to take you through it as the captain of our salvation. He's going to take us through it. He went through it. He went through all this adversity. He faced all those things. He had to deal with Satan. But he ran to the problem because he knew his God was with him. The Father was with him. Y'all see this? It is very difficult. It is very hard, but when we can put our minds on the heavenly and consider Christ the captain of our salvation, he says, come unto me, take my yoke, learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. But when I start looking at things based upon the natural and the earthly, guess what? I'm walking by sight, and it gets very scary out there. This world is cruel. People are cruel. And you and I have a very present help in time of need. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's keep going. So we see Christ as our apostle and as our high priest. So you see why he's the heavenly apostle? This is why we put our trust in him. We have a heavenly calling. We're holy brethren. It's easy to say it, but when we enter into the experience, God knows what experience, he knows what trial it takes to get us to rest.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He knows what circumstance it takes to get us to rest. Remember, he's not trying to hurt us. He's trying to get something to us.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's keep going. We got a few more minutes. Any questions? All right. So in verses 3 through 6, I'm going to kind of jump around because we're trying to get through it. We see where God compares Moses, or Paul compares Moses to Christ, and show how Christ is more superior. How Moses built a house, but Christ builds our house, spiritual house, and he's the son over God's house. Okay? Whose house in verse, so let's start at verse 4, Sister.
For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end.
Amen. So we see here that Christ, we are to look to Christ, not Moses, not the Old Testament. Not those things are good because they point to Christ. But those things aren't Christ. Remember we talked about the egg and the chicken and the egg? So if you look at the Old Testament and we compare it to an egg, in the egg is a chicken. But once that chick cracked the egg, the shell is left and the chick goes on. And this is what the Jews were doing, or they are doing now with Judaism. They're still relishing in the egg, I mean the shell. There's nothing in that shell. That shell at one time housed the chick, and the chick is symbolic to Christ. Christ cracked the shell. The Old Testament was Christ in types and shadows. We still look to it. We still trust the reading and the words of it. But Christ in the New Testament fulfilled it. So in the Old Testament, Christ is concealed. But in the New Testament, he's revealed. So what these Jews were doing, these Hebrew Christians, they left the shell of religion and they followed Christ. See what I'm saying? Yeah. Following Christ is not an easy journey. It's only easy when we learn to surrender. See this? It's only easy when we learn to surrender. If I'm trying to live for God in my own strength, and this is what religion teaches us, serve God, serve God, serve him in your strength, in the energy of your own strength. Well, God wants to get something to man. It's not just about serving. He wants us to be available so that we can represent him to the world. Mm-hmm. See, he needs representatives. Y'all see what I'm saying? He wants representatives in the earth so that expression. See, remember when Christ walked the earth, Christ, they said, well, show us the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is what Christ said. This is what God wants with us. When the world sees you and I may not necessarily have to say a word to them to try to win them over. They see your life and how you respond and react in life from day to day, and they'll know you've been in the presence of the Father. They know you got something different.
Amen.
Y'all see what I'm saying? The world can recognize when light shows up.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? But when the church light turns dark, that's when the world's like, wait a minute now. They said one thing, but their life is another. And this is where he wants us to be partakers. He wants us to be partners. Now, I want to get down. Let's go to verse 7. Keep going, Sister Cherry.
Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years.
Okay, so we talked about this earlier, the wilderness experience, how these people came out of Egypt, right? But they had hardened hearts. Okay, so we have Christians that can come out of the world, but yet still have hardened hearts. Why is that?
Amen.
Because we're not following. We're doing the same thing that those folks in the wilderness did. We're demanding that God give us our desires. God promises to provide. See, remember, he's trying to lead us into his presence. That's why he's the captain of our salvation. God, we should let him drive. We should let him lead. But we're trying to lead our own lives, and this is why the frustration come in and we bump heads with one another and with, you know, those of us supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ, because everybody doesn't have Christ as the head of their life. See what I'm saying? We got our own agendas, our own motives, and we're not crucified with him. So he says, wherefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, but enter into that rest. Trust him. Allow his work to take place in your heart and watch how God will align you with those with the same mindset, the same that are walking in the same direction of the Spirit.
Amen.
Now, he says in verse 9, the fathers tempted him, proved him, and saw his works for 40 years. Now, notice, remember we were talking about being a partaker. In verse 14, it talks about partakers. This word partaker means partner. It's translated partner, okay? Now, I'm going to have to pick this up next week because I wanted y'all to see that God is leading us somewhere, and he's not trying. He wants to get us out of this wilderness. And when they left the wilderness, they went into the promised land, and God's presence, he built his temple in that land. And what he wanted was his presence there, Emmanuel, God with us. That will bring satisfaction. They never really entered into the rest. They weren't satisfied with God, and God wasn't satisfied with them. Remember, in the beginning, God created man, and he said it was very good, or he was satisfied, right? Always remember, God is after being satisfied. He wants satisfaction or rest, and man wants rest. And the only way we can get it is in Christ or through Christ. So if I stop following Christ and I choose to stay in the wilderness, I will not be a partaker or partner in this future millennial reign. I'm saved, but remember, when the saint is raptured and goes to the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be weeping because some people will lose reward, and some of the reward, or one of the reward, is to reign with him. But he says you have to suffer with him. The suffering is just simply, I'm not here to do my will. I give up my will for another. And what God does, he will, in essence, cause me to be an overcomer the same way Christ was an overcomer. Did he suffer? Christ suffered. Now, understand, you don't have to go to a wooden beam, but Christ gave up his right to his life so that the Father's will could be accomplished. And that's all God is saying. Give up your right to be right. Stop trying to vindicate yourself. Stop trying to prove you're a Christian. Stop trying to make the world think that you're holier than thou.
Amen.
And enter into my rest. I'm going to make you holy. You don't have to prove nothing to the world. See, if most Christians would just enter into his rest, God would transform their lives. And we're too busy trying to fight to remain the same. On that note, I think my time is up. Yep. I didn't get to go as say it the way I want to say or go as deep as I want to go, but I want us to focus next week on verse 14 about being partakers of Christ. Notice in that scripture in Hebrews 3:14, you are a partner or partaker only if you hold the beginning of your confidence steadfast unto the end. See that? This confidence is your trust and your faith in what Christ has accomplished. You and I have to live. Habakkuk 2 says, the just shall live by his faith. What faith? Not just faith in a blanket faith. Faith has to be in a specific object. That object is the cross where the power and victory was afforded you and I. And when we put our faith there and trust, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to live this life effectively and victoriously. Okay? So on that note, I'm going to close, but those on the line will take questions and comments. We want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We know we're going into the book of Hebrews is a deep book because it has so much to bring out, and it's kind of hard to bring it out in an hour, but thank y'all for bearing with us, and we pray that we've said some things that will bring clarity and understanding. So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.